नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदायो नमो नमः। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोविष्टम् स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। नमो ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महाबदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरद्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत श्री राधा कांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 53 कृष्णा किडनैप्स रुक्मिणी टेक्स्ट नंबर 8। पुरम संसृष्ट संसिक्ता
మార్గవలాఖ్యా చతుస్పథం చిత్రధ్వజ పతాకాభిః తోరణై సమలంకృతం పురం సంశ్లిష్ట సంక్షిప్త మార్గరథ్యా చతుష్పథం చిత్రధ్వజ పతాకాభిః తోరణై సమలంకృతం పురం సంస్మృష్ట సంసిక్త మార్గరథ్యా చతుష్పథం చిత్రధ్వజ పతాకాభిః తోరణై సమలంకృతం There is also another verse connected to this text 9. I'll just recite it. సృగంధమలయాభరణైర్విరాజోంబరభూషితే జుష్టం స్త్రీ పురుషై శ్రీమద్ ఘరేరగురుధూపితై పురం దిస్ పురం ప్లీజ్ రిసెట్ వాట్ వాట్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ పురం దిస్ సిటీ సంస్పృష్ట థరోలీ క్లీన్డ్ సంసిక్త అండ్ స్ప్రింకిల్డ్ abundantly with water. Marga, the main avenues. Ratha, commercial roads. Chatupatham and intersections. Chitra, variegated. Dhvaja, on flagpoles. Patagabhi, with banners. Toranai, and archways, samalankritam, decorated, srak, with jeweled necklaces, gandha, fragrant substances, such as sandalwood paste, malya, flower garlands, avaranai, and other ornaments, virajaha, spotless, ambara, in clothings, భూషితై హూ వేర్ అరేడ్ జుష్టం కంటెనింగ్ స్త్రీ ఓమెన్ పురుషై అండ్ మెన్ శ్రీమత్ అపులెంట్ గృహే హోమ్స్ అగురు ధూపితై అరోమాటిక్ విత్ అగురు ఇన్సెన్స్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ The king had the main avenues, commercial roads and intersections thoroughly cleaned and then sprinkled with water. And he also had the city decorated with triumphant archways and multicolored banners and on poles. The men and women of the city, arrayed in spotless raiment and anointed with fragrant sandalwood paste, wore precious necklaces, flower garlands and jeweled ornaments, and their opulent homes were filled with aroma of aguru. Purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. When earthen roads are sprinkled with water, the dust settles down and the road becomes smooth and firm. King Bhishmaka thoroughly prepared for the great wedding, setting the scene for Lord Krishna's triumphant abduction of beautiful Rukmini Devi. Hare Krishna. So with blessings of all assembled devotees, I would like to speak something on this subject. The chapter is Krishna Kidnaps Rukmini. Some few years back I was hearing His Grace Baladev Prabhu speaking on Krishna's pastimes. I don't know whether in Bhagavatam class or in Brahmachari class, wherever. But he was connecting very nicely that why Lord Krishna ran away from the battlefield when Jarasandha attacked for the 7th or 8th time, he ran away last time. On the one side, Kalyavan was there with the Yavana king who came with very ferocious army. Krishna killed him in a different way. But when it came to Jarasandha, it is explained that Krishna and Balaram simply ran away from the battlefield, as if out of fear. Although they defeated them for many, many times, but this time they ran away. So Baladev Prabhu was saying, why Krishna ran away? Because something more urgent than war was there awaiting. He understood that Rukmini is in distress because her brother and father basically want her to marry Shishupal. So she is in distress, it is urgent. Some urgency was there. So he thought fighting this battle would take some time. Rather, let me go away from this place so that I can save Rukmini. So although running out from battle is insult basically for a Kshatriya, Krishna himself says in Gita, who is a Kshatriya? One who doesn't run away from the battlefield, he is a Kshatriya. That's how Krishna defines Kshatriya in Bhagavad Gita. But here he himself is running away, knowing fully what it means. He knows he will be criticized by his enemies, he will be condemned. All those things he speaks in Bhagavad Gita actually. Regarding Arjuna. Arjuna says, I don't want to fight. Then Krishna says, your enemies will describe in various criticisms and negative words and all those things. They will criticize you. But here he himself ran away because his devotee is eagerly asking him to come and rescue from a very dangerous situation. So Krishna swiftly runs away from the battlefield without caring for his own insult. And here we see finally he arrives in the city of Kaundinyapur, and the whole scene is set. So this is a very nice pastime. Generally in this world we want to hear about so many stories and gossips about love affairs and so many movies are made on those themes. So Krishna, when he comes, I'm sure in spiritual world there is no such things as abduction and all those things. But here he performs all these pastimes in a way that happens in this world. And he does it in such a way that everybody gets attracted to this pastime and to Krishna ultimately. And by hearing these pastimes, one is actually purified in the heart. So sometimes we may wonder why these big spiritualists, they speak about this kind of love affair, and there is a marriage. But actually the pure devotees, they take great pleasure in describing and hearing these pastimes. So much so, it is explained Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Krishna performs this. That's the whole attraction. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was absorbed in Sankirtan in Navadvip, it is explained, sometimes they would perform dramas. In dramas, they would enact all those pastimes that Krishna performs. And while enacting, they will actually releasing all those things, how Krishna does these things and how it all happened. And incidentally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enacted as Mother Lakshmi or Rukmini Devi in one of the pastimes. And he did it so well that everybody actually was in tears. So these pastimes, besides the whole scene and the adventure and the romance and all this thing, behind that is we see a pure relationship between the Lord and the devotee. So Rukmini is performing the part of devotee, and she is crying and she is requesting Krishna to come and rescue her from a very dangerous situation. So, and Krishna, understanding the situation, he quickly comes to the city. And here in this chapter, it is described how Krishna kidnaps Rukmini. The whole plot, the whole plan, and it just happens in a very adventurous way. A long time back, I was in Jagannath Puri on the day of Nirjala Ekadasi. Incidentally, that is the day actually Rukmini marries Krishna, or Krishna marries Rukmini. So I was with Anang Mohan Prabhu. Anang Mohan Prabhu is from Calcutta, a disciple of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, very nice devotee. And he is a very ardent fan of Jagannath. He loves Jagannath Puri. So I happened to be with him in Jagannath Puri. It was like such a nice, good fortune. He constantly speaks about Jagannath. So you are sitting just outside the temple on a porch, and suddenly one panda comes and he started, you know, kind of blaspheming Shishupal in his names. He was calling his names and shouting many names. I thought he must be a mad fellow. Then I asked Anagman, why is he shouting like this? Oh, he said, you don't know. I said, what? Today is Rukmini's marriage day, and nobody in the city wants, in that Pondanipur, nobody wants Rukmini to marry Shishupal. It was because of her brother's envy towards Krishna, she was planned to be given to Shishupal. But nobody, her father didn't want Bhishmak, nobody in the city didn't want, they all wanted her to marry to Krishna. So he says, to enact that pastime, to create that mood in the temple, this panda is coming and is shouting against Shishupal. And other pandas are sitting and laughing, hearing and laughing like that. I was thinking, probably that this guy is mad and that thing like that. But it was not like that. So in the city, that whole scene was like kind of a lot of suspense. What's going to happen? And people, because after this, when Krishna arrives there, Bhishmak, father of Rukmini Devi, she actually welcomes Krishna and Balaram. And many people go and see them, welcome them. He offers very nice residential places and so many gifts he offers. And many other residents of the city, they go and meet Krishna. And there was a talk in the city that Rukmini should marry Krishna and no one else. And there is a talk that Krishna should marry Krishna, Rukmini, and no one else. Like that, that talk was, and it was in the stirring up in the whole city. So in Jagannath Puri also, even today, on Nirjala Ekadasi, they enact this pastime. So around noon time, after Jagannath's Madhyana, that lunch, before he goes to rest, a Brahmana carries a letter from Lakshmi temple. There is a Lakshmi temple in Jagannath Puri. So from Lakshmi temple, this Brahmana comes with a letter. Actually, these Bhagavatam verses are there on that letter. And Madan Mohan ji, Madan Mohan, who is the, Ushamurti, they close the door, but Madan Mohan comes out of the temple, from the main door of Jagannath, last gate of Jagannath. Madan Mohan comes out, then the door is closed. Nobody is there. It's like a secluded place. It's all closed. Everything is closed. And this Brahmana, in confidence, recites this letter to Madan Mohan. He recites it. And Madan Mohan listens. Then there is a conversation between Brahmana and the Madan Mohan. The Pandas reply on behalf of Madan Mohan. And then the plan is set that they will actually go. So on the day of marriage, what happens? Then Krishna reaches next day morning, and next day is the marriage day. And in the meantime, this chapter describes what Rukmini Devi goes through. So many anxieties, so many thoughts, whether the Brahman actually reached Dwarka or not, whether the message, whether he could meet Krishna or not, if he had met, whether he spoke to Krishna or not, even after speaking, whether Krishna accepted it or not. So many thoughts, so many anxieties is going passing through. And then she was thinking, probably I am very unfortunate. I don't deserve these things. Probably I have to do a lot of tapasya, lot of austerity to get Krishna. So many thoughts comes, then the Brahman actually arrives and tells, relax, it's everything is in control. Krishna is here. So all these things are enacted. Then she actually, in her letter itself, not knowing whether she will be able to communicate again or not with Krishna, in the very first letter she tells the entire plan how Krishna should kidnap her. That is mentioned in that letter itself, first letter. You know, everything is there. So, what happens, Lakshmi Devi from her temple, she goes in a palanquin to Bimala Devi temple. There are two temples. If you go to Jagannath Puri, inside the main temple is Jagannath Baladev Subhadra sitting. But on the Baladev side, there is a temple of Durga or Parvati. Bimala, she is called Bimala there. She did a lot of tapasya to get Vishnu's Mahaprasad. So there she gets it. And on the other side, on the side of Jagannath, is Lakshmi temple, outside the main temple. So from that temple of Lakshmi temple, she comes in a palanki to temple of Bimala to worship. Before the marriage, they worship Bimala Devi to seek her blessings. So, while that palanki comes, another palanki from Jagannath temple, Madan Mohan sitting on that, he comes. And there are very small temples are there, all nice stone temples are there inside. So behind one stone temple, Madan Mohan hides. He is in a hiding position. From that position, he watches how Lakshmi's palanki is coming, when she enters and when she is going to come out. And all the other pandas like Shishupal, acting Shishupal, Jarasandh is also there. Supporting Sisupal. Jarasandha thought that Krishna is actually killed in that mountain fire, because he said the mountain fire where Krishna climbed. He thought Krishna is done. Krishna is kind of gone. But actually, again, he meets him here in another encounter. So they, all of them are ready together. And it is explained in the Bhagavatam very nicely how Rukmini's beauty is so enchanting. That it is explained that even sober persons, or those who are highly controlled in their senses, they get enchanted. They got enchanted by it because she displayed her external potency. That Maya Sakti she displayed. So they all got afflicted with lust and their weapons fell. and they also fell down unconscious. But Krishna is beyond these modes. He is the controller of all the potencies. All the potencies are his control. So for him it was no issue at all. He was cool and calm. His name is Madan Mohan. So there was no question. So here in Jagannath Puri, so he just goes and Rukmini, that Lakshmi Devi deity, comes from her palaki and ascends Krishna's palaki. And this panda, they kind of run with that palaki around the temple. And the Sisupala and all this, they also chase. And this Baldev is also there. So there is a fight happens. Literally fight. And finally they capture Sisupal. In their own way, they tie his sikha to Krishna's, Jagannath's palanki and drag him for some distance while beating him. And then the whole thing's over. And like next chapter, Krishna marries Rukmini. So in the night time, there is a marriage ceremony of Jagannath, that is Madan Mohan and Lakshmi. That happens in the temple. There is a Kalyan Mandap, what you call. The marriage is there. And the whole night the Pandas would be reciting slokas, Brahmanas, Sotang, Rikshas, and the whole ceremony would be occur. And the whole night, that I think that is the only night in Jagannath Puri when the whole temple is open all night long. Anytime you can come and take darshan. And Mahaprasad is distributed free that day. If you know when and where, then you will get it. Marriage feast of Krishna. And this is the marriage feast where Brahmachari can also eat. So, it's like that. So even today, we see these pastimes are enacted with a lot of vigor and enthusiasm. Why? Because in these pastimes, one gets totally attracted to Radha and Krishna. So, I was just thinking to describe these points. But then to hear and release these pastimes, one needs to have a clean heart. Purified heart. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada's movement is so unique and special because it offers the opportunity to purify ourselves. Because this tastes for spiritual life doesn't come or doesn't release till that fever or the disease of different anarthas residing in our heart. Just like if a diseased man, sometimes we have even a little fever, doesn't allow us to release the food, isn't it? Now what to speak of severe disease like jaundice. You know, jaundice means even sweet tastes bitter. So these anarthas act against, they doesn't allow us to release or taste this spiritual nectar. So Srila Prabhupada, out of his compassion, he offers this process of Krishna consciousness where one gradually purifies oneself. And he brings in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement to this world. What is so special about this Sankirtan movement? Speciality is that even in a Sikh state, when this Kirtan we hear from bona fide sources, from pure devotees of the Lord, a sincere devotees of the Lord, when you hear Kirtan from them, that Kirtan penetrates all the layers of anarthas and actually touch our heart. It touches our heart. And for some time, you are able to taste the spirituality. That is the compassion of Sri Sri Gaur Nithai. That is their compassion. And that gives a hope, or that gives an understanding, or enthusiasm, or a eagerness. Let's purify ourselves. If you want to the nectar more and more and more. Right? So unless one is purified from these anarthas, it's very difficult to release. Like yesterday, His Holiness Nagan Swami Maharaj gave a lot of devotees Harinam initiation yesterday, around 3:30, 3:32, something like 3:33 probably. So, of course, the many nice names were given yesterday. But one time I remember Maharaj saying, our devotees say, the most important part of the name is Das or Dasi, right? But of course, the spiritual master gives out of his love. Like, I don't know rest of India, but in the part that I am from, Orissa, a child receives many names. Not just one name that they give parents, a legal name that goes in our certificates. But many surrounding, they give many names. I remember I myself receiving many names. Some are very funny also. And some are related to Krishna, Narayan, like that. And everybody, the elderly persons, it is their love that they manifest by giving a name, basically. That's why the connection is there. So similarly, spiritual master also offers a very nice name. And he connects us or his to Lord through that love and that name. But for us, the important part is Das or Dasi, like servants. The idea is to serve. Serve in many ways, but the most important service is the acceptance of his instructions. That is the most important service. So then this process, the initiation of the start, is basically receiving the siksha or chanting of the holy names, which will purify us. Then we can release these pastimes very nicely. So I was listening to one of the lecture by His Holiness Radha Govind Maharaj, and he was speaking about this holy name. He was basically glorifying the process of bhakti. And he was saying this process of bhakti, like chanting and hearing, is so potent, that this process will take us back home, back to Godhead. This process itself will take us back to other processes like yoga and different things people do, spirituality, bona fide processes. But there, one needs to put one's own endeavor. Like he was saying, a devotee may be chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and while chanting, sometimes he may fall asleep, or different thoughts may come, he may go here and there sometime, you know, do different, we have seen also. We're not supposed to do like that, but people do like that sometimes. It says, even if it happens, that process, chanting holy name is so potent, that process will take him back to Godhead. So, it gives a lot of hope while hearing these things. Then he says, other processes, you can't afford to do any mistakes. You have to be very particular. You have to put efforts. So then one devotee asked him, Maharaj, if you're saying like this, then why do we tell people, be attentive in chatting, sit in the right posture, pronounce correctly, do all these things? Then Maharaj said, see, it's like this. This chanting of Hare Krishna is like traveling by train. Whereas other processes, you're like riding your own bicycle or even your own car, but you are driving. You can't be inattentive. If you're little inattentive, then there will be, even if a very nice car with all kind of, you know, modern sophistication, you know, everything is there, but if you sleep, it just goes off the road, accident. But in train, you can sleep, no problem. The train will take you to the destination. You know, you don't have to ask whether the driver is sleeping or not. You just go to sleep. But sometimes we just cause so many things while traveling in train also. This, you know, second class bogey, sleeper class. Even in AC, there are different problems. Once I was going by a third AC, from here. And in the morning, I was actually hungry. Sometimes in traveling it happens, you feel a little hungry. So I carried some nice sandwiches for breakfast. So I got up, freshed up, and then came and thought, let me have my breakfast. So I took out the sandwich in that box. Then I thought, at least I should chant one round of Hare Krishna before eating. It's not good to eat straight away, although it was prasad. I just kept it by me and started chanting. Then one round became two rounds, and two rounds became three rounds, then said okay. So I think I chanted four rounds. Then some people are traveling with me, so I thought let me offer them something. So I opened the box, took one sandwich, and tried to offer the next person sitting to me. Then he just looked at my sandwich and looked at my face. I said, what happened? Then I looked at the sandwich, there are two cockroaches. I said, I'm sorry, karke usko le liya wapas. Then I opened my box, there are at least 50-60 cockroaches. So my four rounds, they were eating my sandwich. So naturally I couldn't. But the thing is, even I was traveling as AC class, the cockroaches are there. So sometimes in traveling, one may cause so many different difficulties and, you know, so many troubles that may come. The climate is not good, this and that, drivers are slow, or they're starting with a jerk, and so many curses we may make. But if we don't leave the train, then train will definitely carry us to the destination. So that is the process that Radha Govinda, that he says that this is the glory of bhakti. The glory of the process is that the process itself carries the person to the destination. But that doesn't mean, then he said, then why we should pay attention? Why you should not commit offense? ठीक है ऑफेंस हो रहा है चलो निकल जाएंगे करते करते द फर्स्ट थिंग इज इट विल टेक अ लॉन्ग टाइम द ट्रेन में स्लो डाउन समथिंग में हैबिट में टेक लॉन्ग टाइम एंड बट ही वॉज सेइंग बेसिकली व्हाई वी शुड नॉट कमिट ऑफेंस व्हाई शुड पे अटेंशन टू होली नेम्स बिकॉज इन डूइंग सो विल बी एबल टू रिलीज द होली नेम Otherwise, we will not be able to relish the holy name. We will not be able to relish bhakti. Bhakti is potent. It will take us definitely. Anybody who has taken to it will reach the destination. No matter how sinful, how fallen, what is the background, it will carry. But if we pay attention and not commit offenses, then purification takes place and we will relish the journey. Then all these different issues that surround around us during the journey will not matter because we'll be releasing the process itself. So therefore, I thought it's a very nice point, because unless there is purification, we can't release this spiritual stuff. So, yes, one has to overcome the offenses. And the very first offense begins with we should not blaspheme any devotees who are dedicated in propagating the holy names of the Lord. And it is explained that it is not just pure devotees. Any devotee who is participating in the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is trying to do in some way or has done something for spreading of the movement in some way, anyone, not just brahmacharis or Grihastha, man, woman, anybody, we should not blaspheme or criticize. Because that will definitely put a break on the taste. And if there is no taste, it will be difficult to travel. And there is difficulty in travel, we may think to leave the train. And that's the problem. So therefore we have to actually try not to commit offenses. And when Krishna sees our sincerity in doing those things, then Krishna will remove these disease, because we don't have the capacity to remove them on our own. Then we receive Mahaprabhu's mercy and Lord Nityan Prabhu's mercy, Srila Prabhupada's mercy, and we'll actually able to chant Hare Krishna. One thing that Maharaj spoke yesterday was this, therefore this Trinadapi Sunichana, that verse, Amanina Manedan, that one should pay respect to everyone. So, in that, showing that respect, we show respect of their service to Krishna and Prabhupada. Isn't it? All the devotees, when they serve, when we respect them, what we are expecting, basically we are expecting all the good things that they are doing for Krishna. They may have something negative about themselves, but we focus on how they serve Krishna. And that respect, actually, true respect, helps us to accept them. And we are inspired by their services. And Maharaj is saying, no, we cannot get bhakti without this. He said, no, doesn't matter how much austerity one does, doesn't matter how much puja, worship, or vrata, vows, all these things, one cannot get around this verse basically. One has to pass through this verse. Because that is the key verse to get us through all the anarthas. I mean, one will be free from offenses. So therefore we see in Kaviraj Goswami, in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he tells again and again how he pays his respects to devotees. Especially, he divides various grades of devotees, Kanishta, Madhyam, Uttama, and he always offers his prayers, his worship to great devotees like Rupa Raghunath, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. But then he says in general he is paying obeisances to all devotees. So today is one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's very dear associate, Sarang Thakur's disappearance day, Srila Sarang Thakur's disappearance day. I'll just speak a few minutes. And there is one chapter in Adilila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the 10th chapter, easy to remember, 10th chapter, where Srila Kaviraj Goswami describes various devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a very detailed way. Very nice chapter. And it shows his enthusiasm to describe many, many devotees. And he says, there are so many I can't describe. I'm describing just a few handful. And describes so nicely. Please explain that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates were all eternal. They're eternal associates. Gaurangara Sangigane Nitya Siddha Karimane. Nitya Siddha means they're eternally perfect beings. They don't have defects at all. Always perfect. It is rare to see such people in Ajab Kali. But Lord Chaitanya Prabhu was surrounded by abundance of such people. That also gives hope. So, in that chapter he describes in the beginning, I'll just read a few things. He says, let me repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances unto the bee-like devotees who always test the honey of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he says, if even a dog is non-devotee, somehow takes shelter of such devotees, he enjoys the aroma of the lotus flower. So even if Kali Yuga filled with so many defects, so many conditioning, so many different conceptions, misconceptions, so with such kind of background, even if a person takes shelter of such devotees to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, doggish mentality means dog-like, Prabhupada says in the purport that dogs are very much against Krishna, so much so that they sometimes pass urine on Tulasi. Of all the places they find Tulasi plant. And Tulasi is basically bhakti. She is bhakti personified. She gives us bhakti pradayini. And offending her means there is no question of bhakti. But even such people with such mentality can get bhakti provided they take shelter of Mahaprabhu's devotees. Then it says, the description of Lord Chaitanya as a gardener and the tree is inconceivable. He says he is the gardener, that means he is planting bhakti in everybody's hearts as a gardener, and the trees are coming. But then he himself becomes tree also, tree of bhakti. And the trunk is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. It is inconceivable. He is gardener as well as tree, you know, it is inconceivable. But he himself, that bhakti is so dear to him, he himself becomes the tree. And from that tree, many branches that comes out, and these branches are his devotees. So that is the tree. So now, here with attention about the branches of this tree, then he says very nice thing. The associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were many, but none of them should be considered lower or higher. This cannot be ascertained. We cannot say this devotee is higher, this devotee is lower. He says, we cannot say like that. This cannot be ascertained that he is high or he is low. This is, we should not compare. They are all unique. All the great personalities in the line of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enumerated these devotees. But they could not distinguish between the greater and the lesser. You cannot distinguish. He is greater, he is lesser. You cannot distinguish. He says like this, but when he describes Gadadhar Pandit as another branch, he says Gadadhar is internal potencies of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore he is the best. He says like that, he is the best. No one can be greater than him, like that he says. So on the one hand he says you cannot compare, but this is the beauty of spiritual subject, you know, where you cannot compare, but you can compare also. And there is no problem, because there is no envy there. So he says, I offer my obeisance to all dear devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the eternal tree of love of Godhead. I offer my respects to all the branches of the tree, the devotees of the Lord who distribute the fruit of love of Krishna. So like that he describes very nicely. Then he describes about Sarang Thakur, who is the 77th branch. All day long he would be doing deity worship. Here his deity is also Radha Gopinath ji. So Mamga chair is a place. There is a island on the other side of Navadvip, on the other side of Ganga. There all day long he would be like collecting fruits, flowers, firewood, and some, he would bake some alms, some grains. Then cook a feast, I mean whatever ingredients he have, cook a nice bhoga. And then they would bathe the deities, dress the deities, then offer the bhoga, then do arati, chant Hare Krishna. All day long he would be busy doing these things. This is very occupying actually, deity worship. Very nice. All day long doing deity worship, different things, arranging facility for the Lord. In the evening he jumps Ganga, I mean he crosses Ganga and reaches Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Shiva Sangan, where he dances with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan. That would be his daily, you know, such a pleasurable life. That's how he was spending his time. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would insist him that you are such a nice devotee, you should accept disciples, because that's how the branch would grow. The fruit should be distributed, and he would deny out of humility. He would never agree to having his disciples. He was never agreeing. But because of repeated insistence, he said, okay, tomorrow, whoever the person that I meet first, I'll give initiation. And very early morning in the dark, he goes to Ganga to bathe. And while bathing, somebody touches him. He says, when somebody touches him, he says, who are you? and that person immediately comes into life. Actually, it was a dead body because he asked, "Who are you?" and touched him. That person came into life, said, "I am so and so." He remembers. Then he understands that this person actually made me alive. I was dead. And he surrenders to him. Then he gives him the mantra. That's how the first Diksha ceremony happens. And his name was Murari. So Sarang Thakur became known as Sarang Murari Thakur from that point onwards. So these are some pastimes that occurred. Not much described about him. This much I could gather. So basically, that's how we can understand that Mahaprabhu's Parshvats are great personalities. And everybody is unique, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loves everyone. Because he loves everyone, there is no question of comparing good or bad. You know? Because he loves everyone for their unique qualities, there is no question of comparing and trying to find differences. In the same way, understanding that mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, we have to learn in our situation that how we should understand how the devotees, the uniquely placed Prabhupada are spiritual masters, and we don't have to feel envy or, you know, compare. And this is the lovely happiness. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. It's late, so we'll stop. Hare Krishna.